This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They are constantly telling you that the mass importation of foreigners, getting them here and keeping them here, is the key to the communist revolution that will bring down Western civilization.
Even Democrats, no Democrat has ever done that. Obama never did that. Every president on both sides has at least tried to get it under control, tried to get it managed.
It's the leftists, it's the people like Rashida Tlaib that have done this intentionally because they hate this country.
I'm angry. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know right now, I'm extremely upset with what happened today, what I've seen today. And I'll lay out exactly what that is and why I'm angry. But in order to get there, I think we need a little refresher here. The communist tells you exactly what is important to him. You have political issues you're passionate about. They probably do not perfectly align with the issues I'm passionate about. We're all free to have our own issues, and that's fine. I'm never going to tell you to set aside what you're really, really hot on. You have every right to be there. However, we should always be thinking strategically, and we should always listen when the other side is constantly telling you what their priority is. They are constantly telling you that the mass importation of foreigners, getting them here and keeping them here, is the key to the communist revolution that will bring down Western civilization. Over and over and over and over and over again, they're practically shouting it in your face. All other issues to the communist, all other issues are secondary to that issue. It is not a pillar of the communist revolution. It is the pillar of the communist revolution. They're quite open about it. Here was Chuck Schumer.
The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
Right? You know what the Save America Act is. We've talked about it many times before on the show. Trump wants it, to his credit. Show ID to vote. That's really what it is. It's a couple extra details in there, but that's it. Show an ID to vote. Senator from Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin is her name. Remember, Michigan is a purple state. Trump won it twice. The senator from Michigan came out and said this about the Save America Act.
The other thing that we blocked yesterday was the SAVE Act, right? Which was literally... rig our democracy so that it would be hard for any Democrat in any state to win any election.
It's hard to get more obvious than that. If you have to show ID to vote, Democrats can't win elections. Foreigners are voting in our elections. You know it and I know it. Democrats are telling you that. That's not some crazy conspiracy theory. They are bringing them here and they are finding a way for these people to vote in elections. And that's the reason Democrats are winning any elections in the United States of America. Now, the Biden administration got elected and promptly brought in 20 million foreigners. You know all the reasons why. We've discussed it many times before, up to and including creating an app so foreigners can schedule their invasion. They took your taxpayer money and flew foreigners into the country. They completely replaced whole sections of middle America. This was a very focused plan, not a mistake, not an oopsie, because again, the communist understands full well with the mass importation of foreigners, he cannot fail. And without them, he cannot win. Americans reject all this stuff. They do not want it. The foreigner doesn't care. So Donald Trump gets elected and he runs on two things, not just in the primary, in the general election, I know there were other things talked about, but there were two main things. He ran on inflation and immigration. The largest mass deportation in history. If I heard Donald Trump say that one time on the campaign trail, I must have heard him say that 1,000 times. And I think he probably wants the largest mass deportation in history. I really do think that's what he wants. However, you know what you can't do? You can't deport millions of people from the country while also constantly keeping your ear to the ground on what the poll numbers are saying about it. It doesn't work that way. You know why it doesn't work that way? Because the communists are going to run ops. They're going to run ops. They're going to do it in conjunction with the media, the Democrat Party, local communist organizations. They're going to run ops, and the intention of the op is to make mass deportations, any deportations, unpopular. And so what will they do? All kinds of crazy things. One of their favorite things is getting people killed, because then someone dies. You have to give a press conference. Statements have to be put out. And after these ops, you're sitting in the White House. You're looking at poll numbers. And you say, ooh, man, people are all of a sudden getting a little unhappy. What to do, what to do. Remember I told you what was coming? This is October of 2024. Do you remember when I told you this?
There's no nice way to tell somebody, you're not welcome here. Stay out. It cannot be done nicely. It cannot. And it will involve tears. The propaganda effort around stopping this will be the largest, most pervasive, most evil propaganda effort you have ever seen in your life. The propaganda effort is not going to be just a bunch of screaming harpies, no, let all the illegals stay. The propaganda effort is going to be aimed directly at that kind heart that beats in your chest.
And they did it. Told you it was coming. And they did it. And it worked. It worked. Remember what happened in Minnesota? Communists, in response to ICE deportations, launched aggressive street animal tactics in Minnesota. These street animal tactics inevitably got two of these street animals killed. And in the wake of those two street animals dying, the Trump administration took Greg Bovino, Border Patrol guy who was really running things, fired him, dumped Kristi Noem, and brought in Mark Wayne Mullen. The communist op worked. It worked. The communists ran an op to intimidate the Trump administration and get them to back off, and it worked. Okay? So, fast forward. Illegal gets killed in Houston. Driving at an agent. Okay? Illegal just got killed in Maine. We don't know all the circumstances around it. He was, of course, in a car. It was about vehicle stops. All right? Word comes out today that ICE is now backing off of vehicle deportations, vehicle apprehensions and deportations. This is according to Daily Wire. It's according to Fox News. Susan Collins, remember, one of these illegals died in Maine. Susan Collins is running for Senate there, trying to keep her Senate seat, puts out a statement. We got to back off. We got to do all that. And now we have multiple sources reporting today that we're not going to do the whole vehicle stop thing anymore. First, this minor detail is really important. Did you know the majority of deportations happen from vehicle stops? And did you know why that is? Well, if you go to somebody's home to grab them, it's a dangerous environment. Law enforcement doesn't want to do that. It's much more controlled if you can get them outside of the home. Vehicles are a great way to do it. Wait till he gets out the home, gets in his Ford Taurus, drives a couple blocks. You've got things set up, surrounded. It's really safer for everybody involved. Apparently, we're not going to be doing that anymore. So, the communist op worked again. Are we going to continue to blink and hide in the corner every time the communists run an op? Because if we're going to continue to hide in the corner every time the communists run an op on this administration, then we're not going to get the mass deportation of foreigners and the communist revolution will succeed in the country. And you know what really, really steams me about this? Not to bring up another issue, but I'm sorry, because of the language that was used around that issue, I am steamed about it. The issue being, I was told when we went over and bombed Iran, raising the prices on everything, destroying the coalition that elected Trump, Gen Z, we lost them, independents hated by 81%. But I was told by the Trump administration that no matter what, midterms or not, it was the right thing to do. We have to do it because it's the right thing to do. So we have to bomb Iran, even if it hurts us in the polls. But the second we get a couple surveys in that show ICE deportations might be losing popularity, we're backing off. We can't win like this. It's not humanly possible. It's not humanly possible to successfully oppose the communist revolution while at the same time bending a knee every time the communists run an op in this country. They're always running ops, and they always will be running ops until all their organizations are completely defunded and disbanded and all these street animal communists are thrown in prison. The communist is going to run ops, and the media is going to help him, and Hollywood's going to help him, and the Democrat Party, of course, is going to help him. They are always going to be running coordinated operations in this country in order to throw roadblocks in front of the anti-communist movement. And if we can't recognize that and find the guts to stand up to it, then we already friggin' lost. I am beyond angry today. This is disgusting. It's not what I voted for. It's not good enough. I don't want to hear a single, I better not hear a single other word about how we have to do this, even if it's unpopular. Nope. You lost that ground when we now twice backed off deportations because the communists ran an op. Completely unacceptable. Do better. I demand more. As a voter, as a citizen of this country, as somebody who wants to save it, I demand better. Susan Collins is not running immigration policy in the United States of America just because she's running to save her Senate seat. She could pack it up and go home if that's what it takes. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Talk to Todd about some of this stuff in a moment. Before we do that, let me talk to you about getting your T levels up. That way you can be clear-eyed about things and aggressive about things when it matters. You're drinking estrogen. It's in the water. You drink it. It's in your water. Yeah, even the bottles. Estrogen. That's why we've lost 50% of our testosterone in 50 years. We have to aggressively combat that with Chalk. A male vitality stack from Chalk, clinically tested. A 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days will change your life. Go find out what I'm talking about. Get a subscription. Give it 90 days. Chuck.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about the immigration issue. Immigration enforcement, deportation is how we save the United States of America. Joining me now is Todd Bensman, someone who's forgotten more about the issue than I will ever know. He's currently, I have to read it, it's so long, the Senior Research Fellow for Border Security and Immigration Center, and of course the wonderful Heritage Foundation, which I know very well. Todd, okay, so what have been the wins we've seen so far a year and a half into the Trump administration on immigration things? Because we have had some wins, some significant wins.
Well, the wins at our back had to do with closing the southern border. For one thing, the border is the most secure that I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And the metrics all point to that as well. Also, we have, even though there have been some headwinds about mass deportation, we have made significant progress on that too from the interior. The numbers are far greater deportations from the interior than we've ever seen those too. It is a mass deportation. We could go a lot further though, of course. All of us want to go further, but the signature achievement, I think, is that the border is all but closed. That doesn't mean there's nothing happening at the border. There's always going to be something happening at that border. I spent enough time down there to know, but we are not letting anyone in And that's the main thing. Everybody gets turned around. Everybody.
Todd, can you elaborate on some of the things the Biden administration did to turn our immigration system into a ratchet where we can bring the people in, we can't get them out?
I mean, it's like Sherman's March to the Sea. The Biden administration absolutely destroyed the deportation infrastructure of this country, chained all ICE agents and officers to their desks, collapsed detention facilities, cut contracts off for private ones, eliminated budgets for any new construction and for the maintenance of any family detentions. I mean, literally, when the Trump administration, when we all got in there, we found a complete path of like a tornadic destruction. It all had to be rebuilt. You can't deport people if you don't have the bed space. It's that simple. You can't carry out deportations when that's happening. And also, you had lots of policies that had been in place that let just millions and millions of people in on parole, this authority that's only supposed to be used extremely sparingly, one or two people a year. They let millions of people in on this parole authority, complete abuse of that authority in the INA, and let those all had to be shut down. And then the benefits that those people got had to be cut off once the time clock ran out on them and they were all here in the United States having to be deported. So really, the Biden administration, the thing that happened with the Biden administration is the first time that an American president has ever decided affirmatively to just open the border as wide as humanly possible and to let as many people as they could possibly get in the one term. That's really unusual. Nobody, even Democrats, no Democrat has ever done that. Obama never did that. Every president on both sides has at least tried to get it under control, tried to get it managed, tried to do something good when things got out of hand down there, but not that guy. That guy just let it rip.
Okay, so how long is it going to take us? You talked about them dismantling the infrastructure that allows us to deport people. How long is it going to take us to rebuild that? Is it rebuilds? Are we a year out? Is it impossible to do that in 4 years? What? How long?
Well, a lot of it has been rebuilt. Remember the big, beautiful budget bill? That's what that was. And it took 8 or 9 months, maybe almost a year for that bill to finally get passed. That had the $40 billion in it for detention centers. That had the billions of dollars that were necessary to reconstruct our army, basically the ICE deportation officers as well, and to retool the procedures, get everybody equipment, training. So I think that we are really almost finished. It's taken about a year and a half. A lot of even people in MAGA have been bitterly complaining, like, how come you're not deporting more? Well, you can't deport people if you don't have bed space. You have to be able to put somebody somewhere. You have to be able to put people somewhere. And so you have to have those facilities in place. And I think that we are pretty good now. There's still a long way to go. I mean, we have to have the aircraft. We've been chartering planes. There are still things. Everybody doesn't have body cams yet. We're still bringing our officers up to speed. That we put on 10,000 new officers. They're all hired, and we're putting them out on the streets now. So I think we're almost there. I mean, I think we're pretty much there. There's still some work to be done, but I think that's a good news story. But just, I think people need to be a little bit patient. You know, when Sherman did his march down to the sea and wiped out that whole swath of the Confederacy, there was a period called Reconstruction. Well, we're in the Reconstruction period, you know, the post-Civil War Reconstruction period. And I think we're well into it, if not past it.
Okay, so let's talk about the news story today. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, Todd. I blew my gasket on the whole thing. That in the wake of two more people getting shot by ICE with these vehicle stops, the reporting is from multiple news sources that we're stopping that. And that's where most of the deportations are coming. We can't continue to blink every time the communist plays chicken. It doesn't work this way. We can't win like this, listening to every poll. It doesn't work like this.
Well, first of all, my sources tell me that it's just a brief pause. And I'm fresh out of the administration. I have pretty good sources. I don't think this is permanent in any way. What's going on is that there's just a brief recalibration, assessment of policy to make sure that the officers on the street are in alignment with it, that the training is right, that there's not something more we could or should be doing. Nobody wants to have officer-involved shootings, not ICE, not the general public, not the politicals in the Trump administration. Nobody wants that. So if there's a way to kind of reduce that by, you know, tweaking something or changing something in a short period of time, assessing the thing, then, you know, so be it. But it's not over. And you're right. Vehicle stops have become a major source of arrests and removals in this country, especially in blue sanctuary areas where the local police, state and local, will not help ICE in any way. So ICE has to go out there and track people down when they're released from jail because the politicians won't allow the locals to report, hey, we got a guy in jail about to be released, come get him. We got to go track him down. When we track him down, we have administrative warrants. Those don't allow us to go into houses or workplaces. The only way we can get them is to and from their vehicle or in their vehicle. And it gets dangerous because the local police aren't helping. In red states, in non-sanctuary states, the local police do that work. They'll pull them over for you, and they've got flashers and, you know, they're cops. ICE officers usually are in surveillance vehicles that aren't marked. And so, you know, policy has ICE unable to chase. You can't chase somebody who runs under ICE. They're not authorized to chase. So everybody knows that. Everybody knows that if I can hit the gas and come close or hit or something, whatever, just get away, they're not coming after me. And that just adds up to a pretty dangerous concoction right there in blue areas primarily.
But see, this is my problem, Todd. These rules, the communists just simply exploits them, and we can't deport 20 million people if we're, well, we can't chase them, but well, we have to pause and refit because we got some bad headlines and Susan Collins got the vapors this morning. But if we're going to stop and stare at our shoelaces every time these people running up, we can't get 20 million people out of the country. You can't do it.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a balancing act. I mean, politically, you know, I don't think the president wants to have a lot of screaming headlines and feeding the ammunition right into the enemy's machine gun either. They've made that clear. Could we do what you're saying? We did try that in the beginning, you know, kind of a shock and awe. I know you remember that. I was in the administration when that was happening. But there is a stealthier, smarter way to operate. And the numbers are coming up. We're at about 2,000 a day now, which is about double what it was before the big, beautiful budget bill money came in. We were at about 1,000 a day at that time. So the numbers are coming up. We've got the 10,000 on the street. We're doing it in a way, we're seeing it done in a way that is smart, safer, but totally not completely safe. That's for sure. We're seeing that. ICE officers are under siege. The number of death threats that those officers have gotten is up 8,000% in the last year. The number of vehicle rammings is just through the roof. We've never, and guys are getting hurt, ending up in the hospital from this. So they're on edge. There are organized assault gangs that are going in. If they see ICE, if they know ICE is out there, they will go in there and attack. We've seen that relentlessly in LA, Chicago, Portland, all over Minnesota, obviously Minnesota, Boston, and everywhere else. And now you're going to start seeing it in Houston. They're hunting ICE officers to attack them. So this is a pretty unusual, it's better to do it in a stealthy way. Tactically, the leadership has kind of decided, and we are getting the numbers that way too. Just give it a little bit of breathing room because those numbers are going up. We had a 5-day period recently where ICE rounded up 10,000 illegal aliens in a 5-day period. So our capacity is there. And the tactics are there too. But in this case, I mean, you're going to have cases where officers have to defend themselves. And let me put it this way, that ICE are police officers. They're law enforcement officers. If you resist them, if you fight them, you're going to lose and they're going to win every time. There's going to be trouble when you attack them. And it's going to go to their side.
Todd, thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. All right. Speaking of foreigners, let's talk about Americans. I love when a company hires Americans. I like Americans getting American jobs because America is for Americans. The big wireless company you have your cell phone through, they don't hire Americans. They hire as many foreigners as humanly possible. Not mine. Mine's Pure Talk. Mine, well, when you call them, you'll not only speak to an American, they'll be pleasant and helpful. You can keep your phone. You can keep your phone number. You will undoubtedly save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. And, oh, they're on the exact same 5G network, so you don't give up anything. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Well, guess what? Now we're in Congress, and we're every corner of the United States. Y'all, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They will never truly comprehend, even after 7 decades, that we aren't going anywhere. We are just getting started. I want to say to all of them, every genocide enabler, look at this room's motherfucker. We ain't going anywhere. We are just growing and growing and growing. The political structures that I have to work in, that we all are surrounded by, was built on slavery and genocide and rape and oppression. It's not the genocide enabling Congress or the White House that will free our people. It is only us. It can only be us.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm happy or I'm aggravated about the fact that these people are so open about what they intend to do and what they're doing. I'm happy that they're being honest about it, but it's aggravating that we can't be more aggressive with them when they tell you they're here to conquer. Joining me now is somebody who knows quite a bit about this stuff, Nick Freitas, host of the Making the Argument podcast. And remember, he wrote the Man Book, which you should get certainly if you have sons. I would recommend it. Nick, they're out there, and she's not like she's the only one, that horrible hag. There are multiple of them who come out on video, on stage, behind a microphone, and they say they're here to conquer, they're here to destroy, and yet it seems like so many of us still don't want to acknowledge that. Why?
I think it's inconvenient for a lot of people. I think it's a lot more pleasant to believe that she's just some wild kook that's shouting this out on Reddit, but she's not. She's speaking to an organization which is repeatedly winning congressional seats in places for as diverse as New York from Colorado. And this is what they believe. And by the way, this is what the Democratic Party, this is the energetic wing of the Democratic Party right now. So yeah, I wish this wasn't reality. I don't think we should have ever allowed this to happen, but now it has. And the question is what are we going to do about it?
Well, what are we going to do about it, Nick? Because I'm sorry, I'm a little bit steamed today because of the reporting coming out that now, because a couple other street animals got killed, we're backing off of ICE deportations, grabbing people in vehicles. You obviously know why we do that, because it's a lot safer than getting them in their homes, things like that. But again, if we're going to be so focused on optics of things that we can't get important things done, we're not going to make it.
Well, I think what we need to understand is that there's always going to be this element on the right, kind of more the establishment wing of the Republican Party or whatever you want to call it, where they will like the idea conceptually, but then when it looks bad trying to do it, or it looks difficult trying to do it, because the left is doing everything they can to complicate it as much as possible, they'll be the first ones to go, well, gosh, yeah, I'm for deportations, but I didn't know it would look like this. What did you expect it to look like? What did you expect it to look like when Democrats welcome millions of people into the country illegally, and now those people don't want to leave, and you have Democrat politicians from the ranks of governor, attorney general, district attorneys, Commonwealth attorneys, mayors, police chiefs that are actively obstructing ICE in the process? What did you think that was going to look like? And quite frankly, what do you think they're going to do next if you let them get away with this? Because this is part of their strategy. This is their playbook. Go read Saul Alinsky. They're proud of it. Their whole purpose is when they're in power, they try to consolidate power, they ignore the Constitution, they don't mind limitations on government power because they're in charge. The moment they are in charge, they then reference the Constitution only when they think it will keep us from doing what we've been elected to do in order to correct for their mistakes. And so at this point, we're just going to need, you don't even need a majority. You just need a significant portion of the population to grow a backbone, to realize that none of us want, I don't want anyone to be happy about what ICE has to do, but I want you to place your frustration in the proper place and then aim it at the proper direction. It's the leftists, it's the people like Rashida Tlaib that have done this intentionally because they hate this country. You heard what she said. I'm not making it up. I'm not being hyperbolic. She despises this country. She describes it as being surrounded by institutions rooted in oppression and slavery and rape, right? This is what they think of us, our culture, our country. And if we continue to allow them to operate in this way, like, what do I want to do with Rashida Tlaib? Oh, it's real simple. I want to denaturalize her and I want to deport her. Not because she disagrees with me on tax policy, not because she disagrees with me on any number of policies, but because she obviously hates this country and is actively working to subvert and change it into something that it was never meant to be. You know, she wants to talk about how bad this country is. You're free to leave, Rashida. And by the way, you came here. I don't recall ever taking a vote on Americans getting together and thinking to themselves, gosh, you know what we really need in this country? Rashida Tlaib. We really need someone in this country that absolutely despises it fundamentally and is going to try to poison the youth in this country in order to overthrow it and significantly change it. I don't recall us ever wanting that. So we didn't ask her to come. She voluntarily came. If she doesn't like it here, if she actually wants to work with groups that are subversive to the United States, well, then let's kick her out. And by the way, let's do the same thing with Ilhan Omar, because she almost certainly violated immigration law, both herself and on behalf of her brother. And yet every time certain people in Congress try to investigate that, other Republicans shut it down because, ooh, this is icky. We don't like to deal with stuff like this. Well, you know what? I agree. It sucks. And it wouldn't suck this bad if you had done something when it sucked less. But you didn't. And so now we have this. So if you don't like this, if you don't got the stomach for this and you sit in public office, maybe it is time for you to retire right off into the sunset so we can elect people that will actually deal with people like Rashida Tlaib and the Democratic Socialists of America.
Nick, this squeamishness about the American public. So I have a theory, and it's a stupid one, but I'm sending it to you anyway because you seem like just the person who might understand. My theory is this. I feel like we should let animals kill each other in the zoo. Because you grew up watching these Marty Stauffer movies, and that the right when the lion was getting ready to pounce on the gazelle, the camera cuts away and we don't get to see it. Total disservice to people because they don't understand how nature actually works. You go to the zoo, you see the lions laying around. Oh, they're so cute. It's just like muffins sitting at home. And you don't understand what the lion actually does. And therefore, you have people who grow up in this society, this flowery, fluffy society of make-believe that's not real at all. In reality, animals tear their living guts out and they die in horrible ways. And that's how life actually is. And it helps toughen people up to reality. Is my theory stupid?
No, I think we have gotten to the point where we are in some ways victims of our own success. We have produced the kind of society which is by any comparative measure within human history, the most prosperous and the safest. And we are summarily watching it being torn down by the sort of people that screamed in the store at their mom when they didn't get the toy they wanted, right? It's the sort of people that have been, never been told no and have always been placated, and they've come into adults because everybody was convinced that they'd grow out of it, and they didn't. They grew into it. They became better at doing what they were doing. And so one of the greatest exemplars of this is what happened when everybody was screaming for body cams. And then we gave the police body cams. And everyone realized that, wait, gosh, maybe the police weren't really the problem. I mean, sure, you've got some cops that just do some bad things, but no one's trying to defend cops that do bad things. But what people actually figured out, and the reason why different people with BLM and whatnot are now like, well, we don't like these body cams. They shouldn't be made public. Why not? Why not? Are they actually demonstrated that we have people that, quite frankly, should be in jail, who are sitting there screaming and yelling and tearing down society and making it unlivable for the rest of us? So look, I want due process of law. I want to live in a high trust society. But one of the things you have to understand about living in a high trust society is that there has to be some general agreement amongst the general population with respect to how society is ordered and how we conduct ourselves. And we have an ever-growing portion of the population supported by the Democratic Party that believes they shouldn't have to play by the rules. We're all horrible oppressors that have created this horrible environment for them that they refuse to leave, right? And they should be able to do whatever they want and get away with it. Well, sorry, that's not reality. And we're going into the part where weak men have created bad times and strong men are going to have to go ahead and wrestle it back. And that's just, that is what it's going to take at this point. And I don't mean strong men in the sense of a strong man or a dictator coming in and taking control of things. I mean, you need to actually elect people so that we can use the legitimate functions of government and legitimate power within government in order to make society safe for people that actually do want to live in peace, not for the people that want to kick and scream and steal, whether it's looting a Foot Locker in the name of racism or it's electing people like Rashida Tlaib who will deliberately steal from people who earn and who actually are productive in order to give it to people that will vote for her. Because that's what we have right now. That is the Senator Warrens, the Bernie Sanders, the AOCs, the Rashida Tlaibs, the Ilhan Omars, the Zohran Mamdanis. That is their philosophy. Their philosophy is government is accumulate power so that you can reward your friends and punish your enemies. And what they've decided is that good, hardworking, everyday, patriotic Americans, we're the enemies. And so we are to be punished. When they say our democracy, they don't mean us. And it's about time that we recognize that because they don't mind shouting it from podiums. And the moment someone like me says, hey, I'm sorry, but that person doesn't need to be in the United States. All of a sudden, I'm the bad guy? No, we're done. We're done.
Nick, I'm glad you brought up Mamdani because this is a real sickness. It's a bad part of me, I admit it. But I've been really enjoying watching Democrats say things like, well, we're a big tent with all these dirty commies winning primaries in New York City. And I'm enjoying it because these Democrats are detestable human beings. And I don't think they understand exactly what is happening and what is going to happen. I don't think they understand how communist movements actually work. I don't think any of these people understand they're on the dinner menu, Nick.
Oh, no, they don't. I was actually doing a tabling event with Turning Point at University of Washington, Seattle. And for 2.5 hours, there was these people with bullhorns just screaming obscenities at me the whole time. And I finally stopped once. They said, this is what Yuri Bezmenov meant when he talked about useful idiots. And I don't mean this as a pejorative. I mean it as a descriptive because a part of me feels bad for these kids. They're young. They're stupid. They don't understand anything about life. And yet they're paying all this money to come to university to pay professors. And this is what they're being taught. This is the extent of their ability to engage. And here's what it means. The only reason they're, quote, useful idiots is because they're still trying to overthrow a system. Right? The left, Marxist, they don't like the United States. They don't like our system. They don't like our constitution. They certainly don't like property rights or free markets. And so they have to demoralize people. And what they want is they want to demoralize people like me from even coming to a college campus and speaking. They want to demoralize and intimidate other students from actually hearing contrasting viewpoints. They want to do all of that. And that will be useful for the people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Bernie Sanders until, God forbid, one day those people actually control this country. And then it's not like those people shouting obscenities on bullhorns or running agencies or doing. Why? Because they're not capable of building anything. They're only capable of destroying and demoralizing. And when your side wins, they don't have a need for people whose only capabilities are destroying or demoralizing. So they're the first ones that end up in the gulag because they've been taught nothing of actual use. And to some degree, it's sad, but it's also time to recognize that this is what's going on. And by the way, the only reason this sort of behavior is permitted to go on in our university system is because taxpayers are constantly being fleeced by their own representatives in red states in order to send billions of dollars to academic institutions, which have become so infiltrated with this sort of behavior, but they don't know how to operate without it. In fact, they don't want to. But I guarantee you, if these sort of institutions, if these 501c3s, if these NGOs, if these universities, if they actually had to survive on the money that they could convince people to give to them through tuition or donations, they'd never be able to do this. Never. This is the left extorting us with our own money. This is us being forced to subsidize our own destruction. And it's because of people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Bernie Sanders, you name it. And so you get at the heart of that, and you can save this country actually fairly quickly. We could do it in one generation, but it is going to take a certain degree of political and moral will.
Why won't red states do this, Nick? I obviously don't expect California to try to sever that pipeline of its university system. I'm not naive, but I mean, look, I'll point to my own state, Texas. Texas isn't taking these steps, the necessary steps, you're right, to choke off these universities, the communist infiltration. Why? Why?
I'll tell you, having served in the legislature for 10 years, I'll tell you why. It's because you're going to have weak Republicans, usually in the safest districts. And they don't want to touch anything with education because they think it makes them look bad in the press. They still have not figured out the press is against them and that they need to go out there and tell their own story. But so they will sit there and they will say, well, my constituents want tuitions to remain low. Okay, well, you've failed because you haven't achieved that. But secondly, what you're actually doing is you're stealing from your constituents. You're stealing from the electrician, the plumber, the HVAC technician. You're taking their money and then you're giving it to a university that's probably sitting on an endowment worth billions of dollars so that they can create more departments and more professorships, which will teach their students to hate the very parents that made it possible for them to go to college. Then you have a Republican donor class who they remember the good old days of going to UVA or, you know, going to Mary Washington or going to Princeton or Yale or whatever it is. And so they write these massive checks. And these universities are more than happy to take the massive check of someone that has been wildly successful in a free market economy and then put that person's name on a building and then staff that building with professors that will teach the students therein that the person that made the building possible is a horrible capitalist exploiter that needs to be destroyed. And these guys will do this repeatedly instead of giving money to actual organizations that are trying to defend our way of life, that are trying to defend our culture and our values. And so part of this is, once again, people are starting to wake up too. I don't want to make this all doom and gloom. It's not. I'm actually very encouraged by what I see for the upcoming generation. 5 years ago, when I spoke on college campuses, all of the questions were about things like tax policy or running for office. Now I get asked questions about faith. I get asked questions about family, masculinity. How do I be a good husband? How do I be a good father? These are the sort of fundamental questions that the next generation is asking, a set of the next generation. And that's wildly encouraging because, again, the dirty little secret for the left is they don't have enough kids to win elections in the future. So there's three things they can do. They can cheat, they can import a population, or they can educate our kids. And that's where they put the vast majority of their time and effort in controlling the educational institutions that conservatives send their kids off to. But the good news is that if you've got a new and aware generation coming forward that says, you know what, I reject this nonsense. I want my faith. I want a good family. I want to work hard. And you know what? I'm going to take responsibility for the education of my kids. I'm not going to delegate it to places like University of Washington, Seattle. You do that, conservative families on average have about 3 kids per family. Liberal families, it's like 1. Again, 20 years, we win this thing. We just got to take control.
Nick, my man, appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. Before we lighten the mood, I know that being in debt sucks. I know. And I know what it's like to watch the bills pile up and you're looking at the bills in this hand and then you're looking at your bank account in this hand and you're saying to yourself, uh-oh, do you have high interest debt? Do you have a mortgage? You know that American financing they can carve for you a path forward and have done so many, many times before. It's what they do. High interest debt, mortgage, they come up with the plan, and one day you are free. Do you want to be free? AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. Let them help you. We'll be back. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And look, I don't want to insult older generations. You know, that's not what I do. I like all generations, older and younger and middle and everything else. But there's something that you've probably noticed in your life. I've noticed it in mine. Past a certain age, you fart a lot in public and you don't care what other people think about it. You don't care if they hear it. Look, I've had grandparents this way, just right in front of you, standing right there, just cook one off. I have other people in my life, all of them, 60, 70 plus, let's fart all the time. So maybe after what Chuck Schumer did today in the Senate, maybe it's time for people to start retiring. Here it is.
And we need a complete investigation that's independent. Now on Iran and the NDAA. When all the Trump administration, the NDAA. The NDAA.
I heard it, Joe. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.